Dear brothers and sisters, today is a continuation of the last week's sermon, which is the second session of To Become a Dying Grain of Wheat. In the first session, we looked at how Jesus became a dying grain of wheat and the reaping of abundant fruit that followed as a result. We also looked at the spiritual law where the more we die by the flesh, the more we live by the Spirit. So, we must die by the flesh to live by the Spirit and bear spiritual fruit. Last week, I mentioned the first area that needs to die is the ego or the self. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42-44. Clearly show how we come forth as spiritual person when our flesh dies. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. First, what does the phrase resurrection of the dead mean? Those who accept the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit will have their spirit, which was previously dead due to Adam's original sin, revived. As for such people, even if their flesh dies, their spirit and soul stay alive. That's why they are called asleep, not dead. Once we accept the Lord, people who accept the Lord and died, they are not called dead, but they are called asleep. Why? Because their spirit never dies, and their spirit have revived. What about the people who didn't accept the Lord? They died without their spirit being revived. So that's why does this mean that the souls of the those who didn't accept the Lord will be extinguished? No, because men of they face eternal death. The imperishable spirit and soul is guided to the upper grave, but the physical body is buried in the earth, rots, and becomes a handful of dust. While their body is buried on this earth, rots, and returns to a handful of dust, the body of the dead seems to return to a handful of dust. But when the Lord returns, the perishable body resurrects into a spiritual body. As the body combines with the spirit and soul, coming down with the Lord in the air, it becomes a perfect resurrected body. This is referred to as the resurrection of the dead. Just as the physical body appears to die and rot, but is raised a spiritual body for resurrection to take place, it's important to believe that we can reap the imperishable when we sow the perishable. Then, how there are things we have to give up as Christians. Yes, this is true. We have to give up for the Lord. Give these things up for the Lord. And actually, because we believe in the Lord, we have to cut off worldly things and we have to put ourselves to death. We give up these things for the Lord. We may think, so we have to give these things up. We have to put ourselves to death. But we are getting more valuable things and more spiritual things. And even though we have to put ourselves to death on this earth, but our spirit is revived and we turn into a human being that recovers the true identity of man. And we also live a blessed life on this earth. And so to make this happen, we have to put ourselves, flesh to death, because we hesitate to put ourselves to death because we stick to the worthless things because we don't cancel these things. people think that if they cast these things off, they will have no fun living in the world. People enjoy going out to going camping to mountains and rivers, and they find it the source of joy. And because they think that if they come to church, they will have no fun, no joy in life. They think that they know that if they come to church, they have to live in the light, and they know it will be very burdensome, and it will be no fun to live like that. So, if we actually give these things up and put ourselves to death, we are revived with truly valuable things. So we have to be aware of this and put ourselves to complete death. Then how can we become a person that sows the imperishable before God? When we sow the perishable, we bear truly beautiful things. That's why we have to sow the perishable. First, we need to sow fleshly thoughts and reap spiritual thoughts. Romans chapter 8 verses 6 and 7 say, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so." Fleshly thoughts kill life by judging and condemning others, hating and being jealous. This ultimately leads to death. What about your life? What kind of fleshly thoughts do you have in your life? You condemn, judge others, and you hate others, and you have a lot of resentment and hard feelings against others, and you have many fleshly thoughts. But do you think they are beautiful? Do you think they are lovable? No. They are ugly, dirty, and those thoughts make yourself valueless. Those with spiritual thoughts always have never-ending joy and gratitude, and their peace never goes away. Have you ever looked at believers living in the truth and wonder how they can be at peace without any anger or worry despite going through difficult times? They can be at peace because they think in spirit no matter what they see, hear, or encounter. So it's important to... What is spiritual thoughts? It is to think in spirit. It is to think about God. It is thinking the truth. Even though someone harasses you, you don't fall into your... But what about the fathers of faith? You think about what our fathers of faith did, what our Lord did. You know that well. And you can get the answer from that. If you have complaint, if you have fleshly thoughts, you have to pray and you have to ask for Father God's help. Father God, I suffer because of my fleshly thoughts, but as I thought about the Lord, I could overcome the difficulties, but I still have that fleshly thoughts. Please help me cast them off. If you pray like that, that's how you... What about spiritual thoughts give you peace and you may think that because a person is in good environment, he's in peaceful. Don't think that way. Spiritual people also have their own troubles and difficulties. They have those people who harass them. But those people, because they have the spiritual thoughts and thinking truth, they are in peace as if nothing had happened to them. It's not because they also have problems, but they don't consider them problem. Even though someone harasses them, if they discover hatred, they just repent and turn from their ways, and they don't think about what... They don't consider their situation as a trial. They don't consider their problems as problems. If we have no fleshly thoughts, we are always in peace. So, among you, if you find yourself without peace, peace comes from spiritual thoughts. But if you find yourself without peace, you have to know that you have fleshly thoughts and you are committing sins. You are to examine whether you are committing sins or not. You may say, I have no fleshly thoughts, I don't commit sins, but I have anxiety. No way. The Word of God is exact. Spiritual thoughts are peace and life. But if you are having fleshly thoughts, you are tired, you are weary, you are like, because you are still having a fleshly thought, you have no peace. If you are without peace, you have to know that you are having fleshly thoughts and you are committing untruth. We have to discover that. Because you have created a wall of sin before God, peace is gone. Since spiritual thoughts create no wall of sin before God, there is always peace. If you are guided by the Holy Spirit with a spiritual thought, you can pray and seek God's help without a need to be anxious. You can be more faithful with joy and gratitude. Even if you find yourself in troubles or difficulties with fleshly thoughts, you can overcome them. Fleshly thoughts and spiritual thoughts are the opposites of each other. If you act with this fleshly thoughts, you cannot receive the work of God. Those with the mind set on the flesh receive the work of Satan and judge and condemn others and commit evil based on their own thoughts. Despite the numerous words of God telling us to judge, not to judge and gossip, you quickly judge and condemn others. This leads to the loss of grace and spiritual fullness in prayer. Then, what should we do to sow the imperishable fleshly thoughts and reap the spiritual thoughts of truth? Like Apostle Paul's confession of, I die daily, feelings of untruth can be removed when we shatter our fleshly thoughts every day. Then, only spiritual thoughts of goodness and righteousness are left. The more you get rid of fleshly thoughts and die, the more you will live again with imperishable spiritual qualities. But the truth is simple. If you listen to the message, you find it simple. Then what should we do? Specifically, you want to change your fleshly thoughts into spiritual thoughts. And even if you try, you keep having fleshly thoughts. Let's say someone gossiped about you, and then fleshly thoughts make you think. You think about the gossip he had against you. And let's say someone gossiped about you and another person, and there are people who, and you find out that someone gossiped about you, then if you have spiritual thoughts, what would you think? You would think, oh, it can't be true, and you try not to accept the fact. But if you have spiritual heart, if you have spiritual thought, even if you hear that, you don't keep it in your heart. You don't keep those things in your heart. What does that mean? You don't keep thinking about the gossips about that. But what about the spiritual fleshly thoughts? You keep thinking about the gossip he had against you, and you keep thinking about that, that means you still have ill feelings, hard feelings. That's why you keep thinking about that. But if you have no fleshly feelings, even if you hear someone having gossiped about you, you don't think about that. You don't dwell on those things. But what should we do to do that? We have to remove untruth from our heart. We have to control have our thoughts under control. But it is not thrown away immediately. That's why. But all the fleshly thoughts cannot be thrown away at once. Daily checks of personal thoughts and feelings against the truth. Fervent prayer and casting away evil from our heart can transform fleshly thoughts into spiritual thoughts. We have to do these two things together. We have to check what kind of thoughts we are having. Checking is not everything. We have to, let's say you see adult content, you have those adultery arising in your heart, and these are fleshly thoughts. As I told you, another person gossiped about you, and you keep coming about the gossips which was said against you, and you keep having fleshly thoughts. These are fleshly thoughts. And you check that you have fleshly thoughts, and you discover the fleshly thoughts, and But that's not everything. That doesn't mean you can have them under your control, because your fleshly thoughts and the untruth in your heart is like a magnet. They're attracted. You have resentment, and so you have resentment in your heart. So when you hear about these things, which is the Satan controls your soul, and you through your fleshly thoughts and the untruth in your heart meet together, and so when you hear about people having gossip about you, so you feel sad because you have resentment in your heart. That's how you keep having resentful feelings. You keep having hard feelings. One thought leads to another thought. This is because you have resentment, and you have a desire to be exalted and recognized. So if you discover fleshly thoughts, you have to stop, and you have to figure out why such a thing is happening, and you have to pray, saying, Father God, today I have these fleshly thoughts and that fleshly thoughts. I had resentment. I keep having resentful feelings, and these people point out my wrongdoings, and I was upset. And another person, this is a fleshly thoughts. Father God, I suffered a lot because of those fleshly thoughts. I had hard feelings. As you pray like that, the Holy Spirit will inspire you, and you will realize that you have those feelings because you have such untruth in your heart. That's how you have those fleshly thoughts. So you have to put yourself to death. If you pray earnestly, you will cast up untruth, and then you will have your fleshly thoughts under control. Just because you say, I will not have any fleshly thoughts, doesn't mean you can stop. But as long as you have, that's why you have to remove untruth, discover and cast off untruth with prayer, with efforts to cast them off. Then you can cut off those fleshly thoughts, and you have to discover and check your such process. Past thoughts of hatred eventually turn to thoughts of understanding. You can think more about the other person's point. You can think more about another person's point of view and understand their stance, which makes uncomfortable feelings disappear. Changing fleshly thoughts to spiritual thoughts is likened to sowing the perishable and reaping the imperishable. Next, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43 writes, "It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory." Dishonor in this verse refers to all unrighteous things in our life in this world. For example, the pride of life stains the heart and thoughts with untruth. If someone wears nicer clothes and has a better car, you become envious. Then joy disappears as you feel bitter about your own life and end up having a hard time. These people have no hope for heaven. They are fleshly people compelled to eat well, wear nice clothes, and live luxuriously on earth. But a person who sows dishonor to raise in glory repents of viewing other people with envy and struggling with comparisons. They stay content and change their thoughts to those of gratitude, so they have hope for heaven and joy coming upon their heart. If we sow in dishonor and let it die, we will be transformed in truth, and God will glorify us. The more we die, the more our soul prospers. As the soul prospers, everything good will go well, and we will be blessed with good health. This means we can become spiritual men of truth. Let's say you,
Yes.
You are to know how these things, how useless these things are, and you have to, you have, you may have many of such things in your heart, but if you cherish them, if you treasure them, you have to know they are dirty and ugly, and you, but you have treasured them and cherished them, and you have formed yourself that way. Worldly people, I mean, you have love for the world, and you compare yourself with others, and these things, that's how you formed yourself. And you have these things in your heart, and you compare yourself to others, and you have resentment, and you have love for your ego, and you have a desire to be exalted and recognize these things are self and ego, and they, we have to put them to death. The latter part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43 says, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4 reads, whoever then humbles himself as this child, is he's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 3, 23, verse 11 reads, but the greatest among you shall be your servant. A person who is humble, yields, sacrifices, understands, forgives, and serves in this world are portrayed as weak and powerless. But the truth tells us that we can truly become strong when we sow these kinds of goodness. In humbling ourselves, serving, and pursuing the truth, we may feel like we are losing. It may seem like no one in the world acknowledges us, but God does. God praises, loves, and protects and elevates us in His own way. As you obey the word of God, humble yourself and serve, the enemy devil will depart, and you will always be prosperous. So please, do not choose to sin and commit evil to be recognized and elevated in this world. May you walk as spiritual people who discard flesh and reap spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, so far we've looked at the ego or self that must die as we are children of God. Then, what other areas must we die in? Second, we must die in our families. In most cases, family evangelization occurs gradually when someone in the family begins to come to church. Regarding this, Acts chapter 16, verse 31 notes, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his life, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband, for otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. If a believing wife sacrifices herself, serves well, and saves her husband, then the husband can also become holy through the truth. If a husband believes first, he can also help his wife attain salvation. When parents become holy, the children also become holy as they are nurtured in the truth of the Lord. But whether or not these words come true is determined by the person who first accepted the Lord and the gospel. It depends on whether he dies in his family or not. In other words, I mean, you receive the salvation first, and you try to share the gospel with your family. You cannot evangelize that immediately. First thing you have to do is, one member of your family, you have to die in your family. Then you can evangelize other family members, and you can evangelize your whole family. In other words, the evangelizing person needs to someone trusted by his own family. Among you, you request my prayer for your family evangelization. So you have to keep this message in mind. So receiving prayer is not everything. And just praying is not everything. You have to live according to your prayer. And then you have to ask God to for the evangelization from your family and to open the door to their hearts. As you try to evangelize your family, you tried really hard to share the gospel with them, but you have to become the light first. And then, in worldly terms, you have to convince them. You have to make them convinced. You have to become trustworthy among them. Family are the ones who watch you the closest. They know you the best. If you attend church and just preach the gospel with no change in your behavior, your words cannot be trusted. But, so to speak, you have the Lord in you. You have life in you. But there's no change in your behavior. Then how can your family members notice that? You are filled with joy about heaven, about going to heaven, but you still are anxious, you still are hot-tempered, and you still seek your own benefit. You still do your duties to your spouse and your children and parents, and so your family members still have complaints against you, and you have no change in your behavior, and you just attend church, and you say, you talk about how joyful you are, and you try to share the gospel with them, and then your family members don't listen to you, and you say things like, you will go to hell if you don't attend church. Then your words cannot be trusted, even if you believe in the Lord, because you show no change in your behavior. But if your non-believing family members consider you to have changed into a more better and more diligent person in their eyes, then your preaching of the gospel can be trustworthy and reliable. Even if they feel it in your heart, they may think they are different people. He's different. He's a different people because he's attending church. I've heard about this testimony that a person who, because he didn't change himself. Even when he preached the gospel, his family members didn't listen. But as he tried to put himself to death, and as he changed his behavior, and his family members began to be different towards him. And even though he didn't say to them, let's go to church, his family members express their desire to come to church first. And they even asked him about when there was the summer retreat and when there was some church events. And they became interested in the church he was attending. So that's how, because he himself was changed, they were happy. Their family members were happy. And so they also developed a desire to come to church. So so when they hear the gospel, they were ready to come to church immediately. That's why we have to change ourselves first. There are many ways to die in the family. One is to let go of your former manners of life or old habits. Then the rest of your family will be able to notice a change in your behavior. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22 says, in reference to your former manners of life, you lay aside the old self which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Former manner of life refers to bad habits ingrained when we were our old self before meeting God. For example, children whose parents always clean and take care of them can make their children develop a habit of not cleaning their own room even when it is messy. With an excuse of being busy, say you don't make the bed and leave your clothes lying around. But if these former manners of life, the old habits, disappear after you start attending church, then your family will notice the change the best. But if you don't change those physical behavior, if you may think that you have changed a lot. I mean, your deeds, your behaviors remain unchanged. That's why, even though you have the Lord in your heart, even though you try to share it with them, you shouldn't blame your family members. You should blame your old habits. You shouldn't blame the fact that you are not being unchanged. Then, ultimately, your family members will follow you to church. you used to swear, but don't swear. You no longer get irritated or angry anymore. Then your family members will also feel he's a really different man attending church. The more you shed noticeable old habits, the more you die at home. It will be even better if your words and tone of your voice become pure and holy. Check your tone of voice first. You have to be speaking in a sweeter tone. Like, it'd be nice to hear a loving tone of Mom instead of shouting, Mom! It would be great to see you respect and serve by doing the work instead of asking your family members to do it for you. Even if your family has already been evangelized, the family's level of happiness is determined by how much each family member dies in the church. Even if your family has been evangelized already, it's the same goes for you. Why is your family members not united in one? Why does each family member respect one another? Why doesn't your family member respect you more? This is the problem. You have a desire to be served. You desire to be respected. You know, the shepherd didn't say things like, because I'm your father, you have to serve me. Let's say we are having a meal and we have at about 2 p.m. we had lunch and he left home at about 4 p.m. for the Friday only service, and we had a meal and we prepared the meal and brought our table to his room. We were carrying that small dining table to his room, and he and the shepherd, we were having conversation during that short, brief meal time, and so we prepared the shepherd sometimes try to even clean. He didn't command this and that. When he wanted something, he politely asked us to do that. He didn't want to be served or respected because he was We also have to examine yourselves as whether you want to be served or respected. You have to demonstrate such. This is the secret to having your family happy. Because family members live together and are close, it's easier for them to see each other's shortcomings. But in a family where each member is busy dying, they'd be blaming everything on themselves and their lack of serving instead of faulting others. What a peaceful family you would have if you regard everything as your own fault instead of other members' fault, and if you enjoy serving rather than being served. It's important to remember that God's word is true. The more you die, the more fruit you bear. This is very pivotal. Your family should overflow with joy. Let's say you are happy in the church, but you're in the family, you have no joy, and you're irritated. And you may have an excuse, because my family is evangelized, I have no joy in my family. And your family members, you have to die in your family first. Because you don't set a good example. Your children or your parents, you have to discover the solution and the truth. You know, you may put the blame on your children because they are going astray, because they love the world. And you have to put the blame on yourself and you try to set a good example, and you have to serve them more, and you have to try to understand them more. Let's say you love to work in the church. Before, there were church members who used to live in misery before meeting God, but as they met the Lord and God, they are so happy, and they are so happy in the church. So they neglect their duties and the family, so they only focused on church works. The church doesn't teach you to do so. You have to be faithful in all your house, but you, and because you are not perfect, because you are, so you're just happy in the church. You're just happy visiting other members. But what about your duties in the church? You don't do your duties in your families. So after you go back home, after carrying on your church duties, you have no joy. You don't even when you prepare your meal, you don't do it with all your sincerity and love. And you because you're tired from church work, you just do nothing in your home, and you don't care about what other family members do, and you neglect taking care of other family members. So your family members cannot feel warmth in your family, and your children go out and hang out with the wrong kinds of people, and they go astray from their duties as students. So who is to blame? Children is to blame. You have to put the blame on yourself. That doesn't mean students, you have to think, she's talking about my parents, and our parents has to realize about himself. Students, you have to do your duties well, and you have to understand your parents carrying out your duties at the church. It's not that your parents are there. Your parents are praying and carrying out their God-given duties, and they are all doing that for you, students. So your students, you also have to look back whether you had complaints against your parents. Each member of the family has to put the blame on themselves. And the important thing is, in your relationship with your family members, you shouldn't expect others to do this and that. Expect your spouse to do this and that. Expect your parents to do this and that. And children, and children, if you expected your parents to do this and that for you, then hate listening to those advice. They expect their expectation and in seeking their own benefits, you have to fix that. Then there will be peace, and there will be, and I also think about that. But then if I expect if I expect others to do something, other people would also expect me to do something. And people, so I try to compliment others' merits. And so when we try to have peace in your family, it will be easier for you to evangelize your family. And what about you have to think about that. So you have to be cautious about that. Then you will have more peace and joy in your family. So what about dying in your family? How did you discover yourself? How did you discover your fleshly thoughts? Did you, if we keep putting ourselves to death, you may think, I have no pride, I have, I mean, even if it feels like we are, we have to understand the spiritual principle and we have to put ourselves to death more and more.
Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN. Give them the faith of belief from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away, light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of all dementia, all the mental diseases go away. All the paralysis go away. Let them get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scar left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, the voice of Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, and the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false and deceitful spirits, disappointing spirits, all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and their families become evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervent to study heart. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink, or whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let him be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received his answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.